Hello and welcome to podcast number 3 from kungfuology.com. My name is Jake Newby, and with me as always is my fellow blogger Andy Best.
Hello.
And I should point out at this point actually that Andy has a bit of a sore throat today.
Yeah, I'm a bit under the weather this week, and it's not a surprise because last week, you know, we were wondering if we were going to be able to keep it up, especially when we have to go 45 minutes non-stop in the oral format. But, you know, we've had some more kind emails from some very prominent people again, and I think I can do it. And commenter YLK even wonders when he's going to be able to see us doing it. So that might be a surprise for the future. Okay, that is definitely the only gag you're going to hear on the pod.
For those of you who may feel that these bad jokes are getting worse, incidentally, I should probably point out we were originally going to include the line that people seem to be swallowing what we're putting out there, but we decided that was too much. We're not going to record that.
Yeah, that's right. We better not put that in.
Definitely not.
Okay.
Right then. So what are we going to talk about? Well, we are going to review some of the big shows from last weekend, including 24 Hours and their CD release from Yu Yan Tang. We're also going to talk about Second and Lei Ren, or Lightninger, who played at 696 on Wei Hai Lu, as well as Resist supporting Yacht down at Yu Yan Tang as well. We're then going to have a roundup of the F Visa Ghetto, as we like to call the area that we're recording in right now.
Yep.
And we'll take a look ahead to this weekend's big shows as well, including Pet Conspiracy and Hangai.
Excellent. So, where were we on, was it Friday night?
It was Saturday night.
It was Saturday night. Oh, I'm sick in the brain as well as the throat today. Sorry. Okay, you can lead off on this one.
So Saturday night, this was one of the big shows that we picked out on last week's pod. And we said 24 Hours, it was their CD release party. So this was originally from Xi'an, a sort of pop rock three-piece, and now located in Beijing and signed to the label Maybe Mars. And it was their album release party. The album's called No Party People.
Which is a reference to the fact that prior to signing for Maybe Mars, they were called 24 Hour Party People.
Exactly.
And people always seem to be mentioning that in any kind of recent coverage of them. But there you go. We thought, why be left out? Okay.
Absolutely. So, so we picked this out as one of the highlights from last weekend. And, it was a decent turnout at Yu Yan Tang, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't completely rammed out.
It wasn't a retros or a sound toy kind of gig where you can barely get in the door. But it was a decent turnout.
Yeah, it was decent enough. But, I mean, we did point out it was going up against, it was on Halloween, so it was going up against a lot of, themed costume type things.
There were a few people there in costume, actually. Although, once they got up on stage, they realised it was the band Rustic. Who were one of the support acts.
Yeah, so Rustic. Rustic were the band who won the Beijing leg of the Global Battle of the Bands competition, which, as much as there was a good turnout in Beijing, better than Shanghai, this was still kind of limited to more newer and amateur bands. But Rustic, I mean, they had a certain look going on. The bass player, singer guy, he was just straight out of a late 70s, early 80s glam rock band in every sense of the matter. And he even did big kicks while playing. I mean, it was all right.
They did have a look going on, but it seemed, depending on who you looked at, it was a kind of, there was a different look for each member, I felt. Like, they're all kind of slightly different.
Really. Yeah, the other guy had a kind of a sort of late 60s, early 70s university professor waistcoat thing going on. So but anyway, they were big on the visuals, and they belted out a set. But actually, what I want to talk about is 24 Hours, because the CD, absolutely excellent. You heard the track Your Song last week on the pod. Excellent. Great professional production, amazing layered songs. But when you read around a bit, the questions that come up is, do they have a stage presence? Jake here felt they were a bit lost on a big stage, not because of their abilities, but because of being anchored to the mic stands on a huge stage and being kind of fairly sort of like small, diminutive, unassuming of people as well. And I saw a couple of comments around the net saying that they were a bit lacking in stage presence. So I was wondering, can they bring what we were hearing on the CD to the stage? That's what I was waiting for. And was a bit nervous because prior to the gig, I mean, we had two support acts, The Snots and Rustic, and they went on quite a while. And the main bassist singer of 24 Hours was sitting on the sofa there in a white t-shirt, looking very unassuming, just basically sitting there with a bored look on his face for like 2 hours and without any sort of indication of sort of rock star presence or cool at all. And I was really wondering what was going to happen. But Jake, what did happen?
Well, ultimately, they, you know, when they did finally make it on the stage, they played a blinding set. I mean, the CD, the album is, I mean, it's. I think Dan Shapiro actually said this in his review over on his blog on The Beat, that it's, you know, it's really quite a short album, actually, ultimately, because each song is just a real short, sharp burst of, you know, like really kind of powerful, upbeat music. And their set, in a lot of ways, is like that as well. You know, it's, they are kind of rooted to the spot, and I said this, but in a venue like Yuentang, when you're really close in and you're really, you know, almost on top of the band, it works brilliantly, right? And they were really full of energy, and they just kind of really kind of hit you with the music.
Yeah, a little bit of a false start, because the opening track of the CD and of the show, Fuzz, has a kind of football chant whistling type thing. And on the door was supposed to be a bunch of lanyards and whistles for people to join in, but they didn't really materialise in any large amount. And it was basically
the
left.
Yeah, the lanyards were there.
Yeah. So basically, Jake here was the sole person whistling along in the middle, which is a funny story here. I was talking to Steve, my mate, about this, is that prior to the gig, Jake wanted to do his usual thing and get a photo for the blog of him with the band. And when he went up to the two front people, the two girls out the band, and asked for a photo, they just gave him this sort of like half disgusted, half confused look, and were like, "What, with us? Why?" And basically rebuffed him with extreme prejudice. But then at the beginning of the set, Jake was the only person with the whistle standing out like a sore thumb in the middle of the set, and they clocked him being the only person whistling along. And I was wondering what they were thinking of that, because we thought it was hilarious.
I think it did a lot to compound my image as a stalker of 24 hours at that point. Yeah.
So anyway, no one had the whistles. It was a bit quiet. But then as they went in, the sound got turned right up. They perfectly replicated the sound. And the big surprise was, I mean, they were really consummate musicians. They were in total command of their instruments. They didn't hit a bum note. They reproduced the sounds off the CD. And they absolutely kicked ass. I mean, they were rocking it. It was great. There was just a shade too few people for it to go really wild. But I mean, these were, you know, these are just excellent. They are fully professional, both, you know, as recording artists and now as a live act. And if they come down again, come on, you've got to check this band out. You know, you've got to prioritize them over costume parties. You know?
We did tell you this last week, but
We're
now, yeah. Can confirm it.
Okay, so that wasn't the only place we've been at. We both each caught separately other gigs on the Friday night. And if you read the blog, you'll know. I took the chance to check out the Live Bar downtown venue for the first time. So it's officially called the Live Sound Garage, or Garage, depending on how you pronounce your tomatoes and your tomatoes. And it's in the 696 Wei Hai Lu sort of little collective or centre. I'm not sure what the official name for that is either. A cluster of old buildings and lane number 696 Wei Hai Lu, which it used to be like private art studios, and there wasn't much to see. But the first thing I noticed was there's a lot more kind of public facilities and sort of ground floor galleries there. So it is worth going. Now, I went in there. The first thing that struck me was how new it was and how for a place that small, it's basically like the room at Yuentang kind of elongated and squeezed a bit
a box, isn't it? Basically.
Yeah, by
you've
itself.
Got,
so the bar
bit's
not
slash
there,
kind of sound desk right at the back, right on the door as you go in, and then a stage at the other end.
But what really got me was how much sound equipment they had. They had a huge, these hanging PA bins hanging off the ceiling, and this stage, which was like two times bigger than it needed to be, and it looked like, wow, you could get 150 people in here, and you know, got this great big-looking sound system. You could potentially put on some really cool shows here if you knew what you're doing. So I was quite excited. I mean, what was the impressions? You've been there, right?
Well, I have been there, but I have to admit I haven't been there to see a gig. So I've only been there, I went there just before it opened.
Okay.
And so I mean, it was empty, but I mean, it's, you know, it's an interesting space. I mean, it's pretty basic, as is Live Bar out in Yangpu District.
Yeah, but it's nice. It looks nice. But it's all kind of new. Yeah.
But, well, that's the thing. I mean, it doesn't need to be any fancy, you know. You don't need sort of lots of bar stools or kind of nice light fittings or sort of, you know, fancy decorations on the wall, right? It's a rock, you know, it's a rock venue. So it can be basic, and that's fine. And it's, you know, it's a good location. It's in terms of, you know, transport and everything. And we always talk about the importance of decent transport, public transport links for the younger audience and university students. And, you know, it's got those there, right? You know, it's right next to a metro station. There's plenty of buses around. But, I mean, I was kind of interested to sort of know what the sort of turnout that they get at these kind of gigs is. So,
well, this is interesting. So, first of all, the band were Lei Ren, who are a sort of, we talked about them being a second-tier top floor circus. So, like a Shanghainese dialect using kind of comedy parody band who do antics, so to speak. And then a totally brand new student band called Plastic Slippers. And then also the headlining act was Second, the all-girl rock band we featured on the blog a bit recently. And I've got a video up of them on mine. So, you know, Lei Ren are a little bit well-known. Second are getting some traction. It's a smaller venue and they advertised it with a proper flyer on Douban, but didn't really push it. And unfortunately, for the first half of the night, it was the bands, their friends, and me and the wife. I mean, really, literally. And then towards the second half of the night, there was about five more paying punters. They probably sold about six tickets in the night. But anyway, let's get on to the band. So the first band, Plastic Slippers, just a brand new band doing four tracks, just sort of just about holding it together. You know, well done, but not really a band that we're going to talk about on the podcast. It's unfair. It'd just be unfair, right?
But, so, next up, we're Lei Ren, right?
Lei Ren.
Hilarious comedy act. Or Lightninger, I think, is their English name. I'm not sure.
Well, here's the thing, right? Because I wrote on the blog and on the comments about how to translate it. Because Lei Ren means shock somebody. Like if you say, wah, Lei Ren, it's like, wow, I'm shocked, right? Lightning person, I've been shocked. Literally, I'm shocked. So if you're just looking at it, sort of in abstract, it could mean that, and it could mean like the lightning people in that, and you don't know why. So I just assumed that it was that I'd gotten it wrong, and it was probably going to be shocked because they're a shocking comedy act.
That's their whole,
thing. Right? But then I went and thought to myself, well, you know, I'm a writer, should research it. So I went and looked it up, and they have an official English name, which is Lightninger, which seems to go towards the lightning people thing. But then it also could be a bad anglicization, or right, so that's not even a word, is it? A bad translation of the people who shock you using lightning. So we don't know, and I'm kind of going on about it now. So anyway, they went on. They do a combination of 80s Japanese TV show themes, you know, Ultraman, stuff like that, and some straight up sort of parody genre songs, you know, like a smooth talking crooner song, but you know, in the parody style. And they make a lot of jokes in between. And
how funny is it? On a scale of one to funny.
I'd say that night was probably absolutely not funny at all.
Okay.
But I don't want to be mean, right? Because they probably could be very funny, and I'm not a native speaker, but I had the wife with me, and, well, you can see her comment on my blog. I won't say it. Go and read her comment on the post. Let's get on to Second. So I don't want to waste too much time on the secondary show. But so Second, yeah. They take it seriously, right? They got on, hello, we are Second. They launched in. The first thing that happened was the sound was ballsed. They couldn't hear themselves, nothing on the monitors. Then the drum kit fell apart. And it took them a good 15 minutes to get back on track because they don't really have a proper sound guy there. You know, it wasn't really organized that well. And something was missing off the drum kit, hadn't been put back. And they asked publicly over the mic for the previous band's drummers to come up and help. And Lei Ren were very Lei Ren. They just stood there making kind of sarcastic comments and didn't go up to help for the first 10 minutes. Mm. So, but when Second got back on track, the sound was sorted out. Everything was fine. The people who had turned up, the other six punters warmed to them. and the show went all right. But all in all, I'd say that someone could probably do something with that space if they wanted to.
Right.
And you know, all venues are welcome. So, you were at Yuyantang, though.
I was at Yuyantang, yeah. So this was an STD night. And,
oh, really?
Well, as in...
You might have to qualify that.
As in promoted by STD. which I believe stands for sonically transmitted disease.
Okay, I'll let you go on there. Yeah, I can see what they did. That's really clever.
Basically, this was Yacht was headlining. So Yacht came over here for the Year Festival a couple of years ago when it was just one man. He came back, and supporting him, we had a couple of we had a few local bands. One was the Violent Femmes, which was a Violent Femmes cover band.
Everybody is being clever these days, aren't they?
I know, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I wasn't too clever, and I missed them. I missed their set. I rocked up a little late, I'm afraid. Okay. So the first band I did see were the Youth and the Destroyer, which is Reggie from STD's band. He plays bass in this one.
Okay, I've never seen them, so.
Okay, well, I'm not surprised. They don't play all that regularly, actually. I think, in fact, I'm not sure that, as far as I know, the last time they played was when they supported Rat-A-Tat, also an STD show.
So basically, when Reggie books a major international act, he sticks himself in the support.
I'm not sure what you're implying,
Well, I haven't seen if they're good enough, you know.
Well, I say more rehearsal is needed, I think, frankly.
But it's a good strategy, for sure.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, it's all well and good putting your own band on in front of these big international acts, but I think you really need to bring a good show if you're going to do that.
Yeah, and let me point out, I mean, sarcasm aside and, you know, joking aside, I mean, as a promoter, STD were more known for their kind of DJ party nights. Mm-hmm. But across the sort of boom year that was 2008, early 2009, the Olympics onwards, where we had this amazing great show after great show night, whenever you STD did put on, you know, a show with bands, you know, let's be fair, it was absolutely packed out and it rocked.
Yeah, right. I mean, they did a good job. People like Hedgehog, you know, I think New Pants was one of theirs as well, and, you know, they brought in some big bands.
So anyway, yeah, Resist before we move on here.
But yeah, Resist, you know, this is the sort of synth pop power band, synth-powered pop band of Morgan Short from Boys Climbing Ropes.
Yeah, we like Morgan.
We do like Morgan, yeah.
Morgan, I noticed you didn't mention my sort of my proposal when
sort
you commented
tried
on
to
the
glaze
blog
over
earlier,
there, didn't he?
You did, yeah, you just let that go, didn't you? That's a silent rejection. Anyway,
well, we'll edit out those tears, Andy, don't worry. But yeah, so this is Morgan's band. So Morgan kind of, you know, twiddles with some knobs, and I'm not really, I don't understand the technical wizardry that he does up there, but it, you know, it's great. And got Natalie on the keyboards, and got Lucy up front on vocals. And
what's the style?
Well, you know, it's very much sort of synth, kind of synth dance pop, basically kind of pop. And I don't know. Is that a genre? I don't know.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it.
Did you enjoy the twiddling of the knobs?
I did. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I think these guys are great. You know, they're still fairly new. They've only played a few shows so far, but they're definitely growing in confidence and growing as a unit. So, yeah, one to watch out for.
Okay, great. So, the F Visa Ghetto. So, I've blogged a lot on the blog, funnily enough. I've blogged a lot about the area we live in. So, we live around Dingxi Road, Xinhua Road, and I moved here by coincidence 5 years ago with a job. I got in this area, and then not long after that, I was going down to, you know, Yuyintang, the old Yuyintang. But when they moved, it was into this area. And then there was Logo Bar, formerly it was Tanghui, and then Sus2 moved down. And then I started blogging about it being the new hipster paradise. You had rehearsal studios, workshops, several music bars, live music venue, Yuyintang, now Mao's opened, and how basically the band members started to move in, and it's actually become a kind of the downtown music district. I mean, it's a little way out of People Square, but it's inside the Inner Ring Road. It's near Zhongshan Park, Xujiahui. It's still very much part of Shanghai City. Mm. And you can find sort of, within Shanghai context, cheaper rents. And when I was posting about it, Lisa Movius, who's used to write a lot for That's Shanghai about the previous generation of rock music, and now she's doing a bit of work for Soma and Mao, an English language PR. She came on the comments and said that she called the area the F Visa Ghetto. And this was actually a bit sarcastic from Lisa, because she was implying that it was full of hipster foreigners who didn't have proper jobs and had to get the 6 month business trip visa cheekily. But of course, the Olympics sort of killed the idea of the cheeky extendable business trip visa that never gets looked into, and it's no problem and it's affordable, and people get them again now, but, you know, it's a bit more expensive. You have to go through certain people, and So I don't think we can apply that. But I like to keep the name. So because F Visa Ghetto has a certain ring to it. But I mean, I want to qualify why, I don't think it's that relevant anymore. Is because local people have moved in. The it's not just expats living here. It's Yu Yintang are here, Gua are here. I mean, C's Bar's always been run locally. Absolutely. On the Xingfu Road strip, you've now got almost next to each other Logo Music Bar, Anna, and Dada. Mm-hmm. Dada Bar is opened by Antidote's Michael Olsen. And in the literature, in the interviews he gave, he said he had the idea of turning it into a strip. So now you've got like all this stuff coming together. So there's now a distinct music area, and Mao Shanghai, opened in the Red Town development, is very much in that area. So yeah. Now you have a music area, and I've been fiddling with that animated maps site.
I saw that. It's very nice there.
And I've made a couple of maps, so go onto the blog and check it out. So what I wanted to talk about though was part of the F Visa Ghetto. Oh, there goes my sore throat. Too much oral. Wait a moment. Ah.
No, that wasn't Pepsi, incidentally.
It wasn't Pepsi, no. And it wasn't Coke either. Yeah.
But sorry, you were saying, one of the highlights of this section.
One of the highlights is you've got Juju Rehearsal Studios, where Loudspeaker have their kind of permanent room, and where Mortal Fools and Boys Climbing Ropes, Rogue Transmission, and others like to rehearse.
Resist, yeah.
And in the same sort of underground complex there, Brad Ferguson has opened... Well, when I say opened, it's not like a public thing, but he's got a workshop now. Because
right.
he actually makes and builds custom guitars and effects pedals. And I went down there for the first time in a while to get some work done on my guitar. And I had a play with his custom-made analog effects and a Telecaster made completely out of bamboo.
That's pretty cool.
It is. So he actually goes to a place in Hangzhou who make kind of wooden boards out of bamboo strips for him. And he made this guitar using a custom cutting machine, computer operated. And I had a play, and I used his analog British Distortion Tone Rider pedal. And I must say, it's an absolute kick-ass guitar. But that's not the scoop. The scoop is that, and he's probably going to kill me for saying too much now, but it's just too good to keep under my hat. I'm sorry, Brad. Is that he's now working with a couple of people on more custom-made analog effects. And we've got some, I don't know if I want to drop names, but I mean... because it's all up in the air right now. But Han from Miniless and from Love Rock C is currently testing a pedal, and they're starting to get a few names attached. Maybe even Showong from Car Sick Cars,
nice.
Right? And they're playing with these analog sort of more extreme, weird sounding effects. Like Brad was talking about a combination distortion and octava pedal, and they're looking at doing a line for the more experimental bands. So. That's going to be very, very exciting.
Actually, just on the bamboo guitar thing, can I just mention if what we'll do is we'll drop in a link to Brad's blog on the below the podcast.
Absolutely.
And on that, there's a video of I think is it his brother
playing the guitar,
playing
yeah.
on the bamboo guitar, yeah, which is well worth checking out.
So I mean, I'm mentioning this, you know, if you are a cool guitarist and you want some unique sounding analog effects for your cool band, you know, go to Brad. Plug, plug, plug. We're plugging Brad. We're not slandering him. We're plugging someone this week. No, I mean, I legitimately went there and tried it out, and it was great. So Jake's got something to chat about before we get to the previews.
Well, this is my plug for this week's pod.
Ah.
Is that, yeah, I put this up on my blog sort of a few days ago. Also in the F Visa Ghetto, as Andy mentions, you know, one of the main sort of linchpins of the F Visa Ghetto, if you like, is obviously Yu Yintang. And I've always been a big fan of the poster art, like the flyers and the posters for the bands coming in, that goes up at Yu Yintang. A lot of these are designed by Xiao Kei, the very talented Xiao Kei, and we'll link to her blog as well.
Yeah.
And basically, the I noticed that she has a sort of design body called Kane Love Studio, and right. they are going to be producing a book of the flyers and posters from Yu Yintang. The plan is for it to be out hopefully end of this year, possibly early next year. But, you know, they're going through and sort of picking out some of the best ones at the moment. And, you know, I'm a big fan of these flyers. The posters are all over the walls of Yu Yintang, right?
Yeah.
And I always try and sort of, you know, say, can I get an extra
copy or something? Is this online or is this going to be a print book?
As far as I know, it's going to be a print book. Yeah.
Excellent. So that's going to be one to look out for. I'm a big fan It's funny, even in the electronic age, I mean, a flyer, a good flyer in a picture, a piece of art is still what turns people on to like bands and gigs sometimes. It makes all the difference, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say, like, I've actually got a sort of collection of quite a few of these at home now, because I always just take them home and I sort of look after them. And my plan was always to, you know, I don't know, scan them or photograph them or something and kind of put them up on the block, but I never really got around to it. So I'm glad that someone else is going to now produce a book of them.
A book of it will save you.
Exactly. So I can just plug that instead.
Save you the trouble. So yeah, if you're going to, just to finish that off, if you're going to move into, you know, Shanghai and you want to be with all the cool kids, get on the blog and look at my maps courtesy of edusha.com and have a look at it. Yeah, just check it out. So preview. So for me, the big show, we've got a few shows to talk about. The big show coming up is Pet Conspiracy. There goes my throat again. Now, before we get onto the show and where, a timely release on Doban, Pet Conspiracy, who I must, you know, must preface as saying they did start off as an avant-garde sort of art project slash band. They are an art band. They're into their provocation and a visual stage show. They've just done a photo shoot, which is... Well, Jake, can you describe it? It's on the blog. I'm sure you've seen it.
I don't think I can describe it. That's the trouble, actually. So, yeah, this is...
They're all naked. There you go.
That was succinct. Yeah.
It was, wasn't it? They're all naked, men and women all together.
Frolicking,
yeah. So it's one of these kind of like 70s-esque. When I say 70s-esque, I mean it's got the photo tone, the texture as well.
Yeah.
It's like a kind of co-ed nudity in the wilderness sort of type thing, frolicking around the countryside naked, lying around in bushes. And it's very much, you know, well thought out, like artistic shoot, which is not kind of exploitative or sexualized in that way. And it's also very much a big, like, sort of middle finger to conservative society. I haven't seen anything like this in a while out here, although we'll get onto this in a moment. But it's all over Jake's blog. And
well, you say that you've not seen anything like that for a while out here, Andy, but funny enough, we've taken a cue from Pet Conspiracy.
Yeah, and, I wasn't going to mention this because we're audio. But yeah, so...
Go on.
So yeah, we've taken a cue from this, and we're actually recording the podcast this week in one of the cabins at the Gongqing Forest Park in Yuyuntang, and we are actually sitting here right now, butt naked, you know, to put an image in your head. And we've, I don't know if you know, but the Notch Festival has been in town this week, which is Scandinavian artists coming here. And prior to recording this pod, we were in fact frolicking around the forest park with a bunch of taut-bodied young Swedish boys and girls.
Absolutely.
And so this is the Nature Cast this week.
Actually, Bjorn, can you just move your leg off? Yeah, thanks, mate. Okay.
Yeah, so... So yeah,
Pet Conspiracy.
So that's what they've done. They've done this shoot. It's quite timely, provocative move, I guess. They're doing a few gigs now. But actually, it's a really interesting project. And my favourite one is the two lads running by the river, flapping in the breeze.
It's really quite beautiful. I don't know if we can really do it justice by talking about it, but yeah, get on the blog and check out these photos. It's really something to behold.
Yeah, and then over at mine, I've done a bit of a flashback, because just over a year ago today, I posted about another Shanghai avant-garde show by the noise artist Torturing Nurse. And I don't want to dwell on it too long because, you know, it's been covered on the blog and we're sort of going back. But the top and bottom of it is a guy called Yan Jun, a experimental artist from Beijing, came down for the Noise Shanghai 20th show. And he did a special headlining act at Live Bar called Torturing Nurse. So the three members of Torturing Nurse were brought out and they were tortured along with contact mics strapped to their bodies and their throats, along with a kind of sort of noise slash horror backing track. And the highlight of the show was, despite people being bagged and taped to chopping blocks and stuff, is that Jadia, the girl who used to front the band, but now she's studying abroad now, she's taking a break, was basically naked apart from gaffer tape over her private parts. I mean, just enough. It was barely covering. She was led out on her knees, gaffer taped to the mic stand, and then blindfolded for the whole show. And there was a very sort of infamous photo set of it, which you can see on the blog. And and Morgan Short came on the comments and linked another one by Canadian Montreal-based noise artist called, do you want to say the name?
AIDS Wolf.
AIDS Wolf.
Yeah.
Who, a very similar musical style to the noise scene here in Shanghai. And they have a similar thing too, a kind of like back to nature hippie style photo shoot. So maybe this is going to be a, this is going to be the next big thing. Maybe the next Kung Fuology pod, we can do a frolicking shoot. But I just don't think anyone would want to see that, to be honest.
No, maybe we need to build up more of a following first.
Yeah, I think so, before we start flapping around
yeah.
on the photo. So that's what's going on now. And one thing I was noticing, the sort of comment I want to make here, is that via the sub site, I surfed into a kind of China-based sort of vegan and animal protection site called don'teatfriends.com. And it's exactly that. And then I linked again to a site called 81fur.com, 81fur.com. And when you go in there, that's actually, they can't make too much noise about it, but once you go in there, it's all Chinese language. You find out that's actually the kind of the PETA, the PETA Asia Pacific site, the Chinese language site. I don't know if you're familiar with PETA. They're animal rights activists, vegans, and they do a lot of high profile activist work involving celebrity shoots where they appear naked. I mean, they normally got their bits covered, so to speak, and it's tastefully done. But the point is, they started this off with don't wear fur. Like Pamela Anderson, who's a big representative, would rather be naked than wear fur. And then a bunch of celebrities do this. And they have a presence in China, up in Beijing. They've got the site. And a few of the more sort of animal-friendly, vegan or politically conscious bands like the Subs sponsor the site. So I'm wondering, how long is it going to be? Because I'm sort of, I watch my diet and I'm kind to the animals. I'm wondering how long it's going to be before we all, you know, do a PETA, is it PETA or PETA? I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Asia Pacific photo shoot. When is like, we'll have me,
you Andy and
Best
Mao.
From, yeah, Kang Mao from the Subs, Andy Best from KungFuology.com. Any other vegetarian rock stars in, or vegan
just
rock stars?
Just you two, I think.
Just the two of us. I'm just, sure there's
not,
a couple
not
more.
You two, the Irish band, but you two.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, we can find some more people. When are we going to see a PETA or PETA Asia Pacific shoot? Come on. Come on, let's go. I went to theatre school. I'll get my kit off for anything. And in fact, for any reason, in fact, yeah. Yeah. Come on.
But moving on, so that, you know, images of Andy Best naked don't linger too long in your mind.
Yeah,
on the same post with the pet conspiracy photos up on my blog, towards the bottom there, Helen Fung was kind enough to send me a link towards a video that they've put together, which shows some highlights of their recent European tour. It's just kind of based around one track, basically.
Right.
And it's got some live concert footage and some shots of them on the road as well, all kind of chopped together.
And if you're listening to this, you know, our podcast, you're familiar with blogs, you should already have been to the post and you should have watched the video, you bastards. And if you haven't, come on, get watching it right now. Sorry, Jake, go on.
No, good, that's fine. So there's this video out there, basically, and this kind of gives you a bit of a taste of what to expect, I think, on Friday night at Mao. So this is their European tour that they did. It took in 13 different locations, basically.
Yeah, but Helen said something about it, right?
And Helen said in an interview with Sam Gaskin at Shanghai Tour that this was probably the best tour that a Chinese band has ever done.
Was it Shanghai Tour or was it That Shanghai?
Shanghai Talk.
Well, Shanghai. See, I just get confused. It's just like one big advert. I told you I was going to slander one of the mags today. We said it was going to be City Weekend, but it was all of them. So, yeah, you know, in fact, right, you know, it's got to stop here. I'm sorry to stop you again, but yeah, Shanghai Expat magazines, since the demise of SH magazine, which we all respected and love because somebody was writing for it.
Thank you very much.
They're basically like, They are to magazines what soundtracks are to porn films. It's just like one big continuous sort of roll of wah-wah and flute. anyway, let's go on. So yeah, she mentioned the show. I mean, they were successful. If you watch the video, there was people there. There was crowd surfing. There was
people
moshing.
Going crazy there as well.
They were going nuts. And she says in the quote, it's because her boyfriend booked the tour and he made sure to book the bands into places that like that genre of music and not to places, to Asian studies majors and people who are interested in, and I'm air quoting now, kill me later, China. And, you know, this, I love that quote because this is something I'm always going on about, right? I hate people who come in and go, Chinese bands should be Chinese. Now, we're not going to get off on it, We've talked about it a lot on the blog before, but this shows that the bands themselves are aware of this and that they seem to share my opinion about it, which is quite gratifying. But yeah, because there was another tour happening recently of America, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, I mean, it resonates quite strongly, I think, with this one. You know, Modern Sky took some of their bands over to the States, basically.
And there was an infamous... Well, it's only infamous because I said it was infamous, but there's a video available. I first saw it over at Adam Schocherer's post on one of his blogs, the Neochar Edge, which which has a lot of sort of local artists and musicians who use the Neochar community site, and it's well worth checking out. He had a video of Casino Demon playing at the Washington, D.C. gig.
Right.
Did you see that, Jake?
So, yeah, I did. So it was so the bands that were taken over, we should mention, were Casino Demon, Hedgehog, and Quincy Big Shot.
Bands that can really rock at a small to medium-sized indie venue.
Right, and bands that are over here are, you know, a really big deal, right? I mean, yeah, you'll get big crowds turning out for them. If you go, we'll put the link in. If you go and watch this video of Casino Demon in Washington, it's just...
It's the epitome of what Helen made the comment about, right? And what we don't like about expat or foreign perceptions of Chinese music. It's the epitome of it. It's at a Chinatown cultural festival.
Right.
For people who are interested in, more air quotes, Chinese culture. And it was badly organized. It was put on at the end of the day, 3 hours after... Well, we know someone, a very kind person who comments on our blog, privately emailed us with a massive review of the day. And she actually was very happy to see Hedgehog. And the bands were great, and Atom made a point of thanking them personally in English and seeing them after the show. They got the CDs, but basically it was the epitome of the kind of fetishism thing. It was at a Chinatown Chinese cultural festival. Prior to the bands going on was an old man doing qigong, and prior to that was a couple of Chinatown local officials going on about some political stuff. You know, it was just like everything that an indie show is not. It was during the day, it was outside, it was using a tiny little announcing PA.
And the trouble is, as well, it's just really demoralizing for the bands, I imagine, as well. Because, you know, you're going on tour in America. That's amazing, right? That's great. Yeah, like, so how good is that? And they take them over there, and it's just shoddily managed. And, you know, put on in front of, like, half a dozen people who don't really care about what you're doing there. And then why on earth would you want to sort of give your best performance, right? Yeah. And you don't. And you just sort of turn it on yourself. And it's just, the whole thing falls apart.
So come on, guys. Watch that video of the Pet Conspiracy tour. And this is what happens when you do it properly. I mean, if next time someone does a tour, you know, do that. I mean, the subs played music festivals and were appreciated. But, that was a while ago now. But, I mean, I really hope that Helen's comments and that video bring it up again. You know, bring up the subject. Chinese bands make good music for what they're doing. Listen to the artist. It's a Michael Pettis thing again from last week. What is the artist trying to do? Appreciate them for what they're trying to do. Are they success? And put them on in venues where it's people who appreciate that kind of music. So anyway, it's this Friday.
It is. It's this Friday at Mao. And
who else is playing on
it's
that?
It's not only Pet Conspiracy, but we've got two of our favourite Shanghai bands are supporting as well. So we've got Duck Fight Goose, and then we've got Boys Climbing Ropes on the bill as well. And there's also on the bill, it being an Antidote night, there's a whole load of Antidote DJs, including B6, who's probably the best known of those.
Yeah, and this show, again, it could be massive if there's enough people. Pet Conspiracy are amazing. We love Boys Climbing Ropes. But there is one thing as well. I mean, again, we're tipping this show, so are we cursing it? I don't know. But, I mean, if you go to Douban, Pet Conspiracy got like in excess of like 4,000 people following their musicians page, and they've got the same kind of attention that a Reflector or a Hedgehog has that could bring in all these local fans.
Right, the ability to really pack out a venue.
They could pack out a venue with these local fans who are not always at the party gigs or at every gig, who don't hang out at Yuyuntang every week. And they've certainly got, you know, the fame on the underground to do that. But if these sort of locals turn up in force for this gig and the DJs go on first and it's a huge night and Pet Conspiracy go on after midnight, then they're not still going to be there. So it could go either way, depending on the organisation. I mean, I just hope that everybody from all backgrounds turns up, because if that gig is packed out with that like amazing, energetic stage show, it's going to be a night to remember.
My hunch is that it'll be the band's on first, and then, you know, Pet Conspiracy have a sort of dance-ish kind of sound around them anyway. I think that will just flow nicely into the
Antidote. I've got a good name.
Yeah, and it's Antidote who are organising, which gives me, you know, faith that it will be a really, really well-done night, basically. And like you say, you know, get down there, because if Pet Conspiracy can get a packed in crowd in Mau on that stage with that sound system, I mean, you know.
I mean, again, it's not Halloween,
it's go
right?
Absolutely crazy.
It's not Halloween. It's not like hardcore punk that has limited appeal. This is just big in every way. You bastards, get to the gig. Come on, we want to see you at the show. We want to be holding you up as you surf the crowd for the first time and have the night of your life. Anyway, I see our regular time is actually completely gone. So there's another band Jake really wanted to talk about. Hangai, get in there.
Just really quickly. On the Saturday night at the Dream Factory, showing that there's life after Soma at the Dream Factory. Splitworks are bringing in Hangai. Hangai they're based in Beijing, but they basically play sort of traditional Inner Mongolian folk songs, or their music is based on traditional Inner Mongolian folk songs. So they do this incredible thing called throat singing, which I'm not going to try and imitate here, and I don't think you should with your sore throat, Andy.
Right.
But it's just incredible. They play the horsehair fiddle. They dress in sort of Mongolian costumes. And they could be an absolute riot as well. I'd seriously definitely get down there and see this show.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a Splitworks show, right?
Right.
Yeah, so...
again, a mark of quality, so...
Yeah, mark of quality, and they can track people, so this could be a great weekend. And we're going to leave you with Boys Climbing Ropes, because we couldn't get an advanced track off Pet Conspiracy. not that they were funny about it, but they don't have anything...
Helen was very
available.
Nice,
she's
very willing to help, but yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have anything available for distribution right now, just a few things for streaming. So we talked about how much we like Boys Climbing Ropes. We love this band. They should have more local support because of Little Punk, who you'll hear singing the female vocals on this track.
And just because they're a brilliant, brilliant band as well.
They are. Intelligent Music. This is from their first EP from a year ago. The new one's coming out soon. I'm picking the track.
I noticed that. Go on.
Yeah, and it's this is Dirty Bots. So
here it is.
And we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye. Shine when I